Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd, and in this show we're going to discuss configuring NAT. Now, I've been in the industry for over 20 years and have done consulting and teaching for the government, United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, the Army, and companies all around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started. So, NAT is Network Address Translation. And what it does is allows one computer with a public address to provide internet access to hundreds of clients. Now, there's two different ones. We have NAT and we have ICS. Now, NAT is for large organizations, where ICS would be for your home office or a small office, home office, which we call SOHO. But what we'll look at is NAT. So NAT, hosts must have private IP addresses. So the IP addresses that are given out, 192.168.0.0, 192.168.255.255, also 172s, and also 10s, 10.10s, or 10.0s. Now, the thing is with ICS, on the other side, ICS only allows you to have 192 addresses. Now, network address translations, most organizations use third-party hardware-based solutions. NAT goes offline, client loses connectivity to the internet. So redundancy is important. Now, ICS is home and small office use. Routing remote access, we can do a routed intranet. ICS is a public IP address on the external interface. The internal is going to be 192.168.0.1. DHCP is enabled by default for the clients that are connecting, provided with the IP address of 192.168.0.0/24. So that's actually a Class C or a 24-bit subnet mask. And service is not compatible with DHCP server role or the DHCP relay agent. So with ICS, you're locked into just using their DHCP type environment. Where with NAT, you're actually using the true DHCP. When you look at ICS configuration steps, what you do is configure a NAT server with two interfaces. Disable routing remote access if it's enabled. You're going to access the network connections and tasks and manage the network connections. Then you're going to bring up the properties of the public NIC. You're going to access the sharing tab and select allow other network users to connect through the computer's internet connection. You're going to configure any other services that you want users to be able to access and finish by clicking OK. So it's actually very straightforward. But again, it has limited ability for networks. It's for a small office, home office, small office. Now, when you do go into configuring NAT ICS, it's underneath the advanced properties of the local area connection. And you'll see allow other network users to connect through this computer's internet connection. And then what you can do is go through settings and you can make a determination on what you want to allow through. Now, client services for our ICS. The client services for ICS, you configure the firewall settings for ICS. And what you're doing is you're saying, okay, these are the things that I want to allow individuals to be able to use through ICS. So that could be FTP server, it could be POP3, it could be a secure server, HTTPS, a telnet server, a web server. And once you've enabled it, what happens is now the clients are going to be configured to use DHCP, but they're only going to allow the range of 192.168 with a /24. And the clients will use 192.168.0.1 as the default gateway. Now, on the other hand, we have the big boy out there, which is NAT, which is Network Address Translation. And so when we think about network address translation, we're doing pretty much the same thing as what we did with ICS. but now we're doing it on a larger scale. So what will happen is when we enable NAT, individuals will go through and connect to the public, click from the private into the public will have the access to the internet. So the way that we configure this is through the routing remote access server. What you do is you select which is going to be the actual interface that you're going to use to connect to the internet. Which what you should do is make sure that you identify which one's going to be the internal and which one's going to be the external adapter. That way it makes more sense to you. Now, one of the things you can do is enable security on selected interface by setting up basic firewall. I wouldn't do that because what it'll do is lock it down. And then you won't get it working from the first part. Once you get it working in the first point, then go ahead and make your changes. On the NAT basic firewall, it gives you the ability of selecting a private net interface or the public. On the public interface connected to the internet, enable a NAT on this interface. That's one of the checkboxes, and also enable basic firewall on this interface. And then you can use basic firewall only, and then you have inbound and outbound filters. And inbound filters, what it's doing is it's going to check traffic based on the different ports. And that will allow you to be able to stop certain traffic from coming across. So in the inbound filters, you'll be able to go in and make the change to saying what's the source address, what's the source subnet mask, network mask, and the destination address and the destination mask. And so we can filter for protocols such as maybe you want ICMP, the Internet Control Message Protocol. Well, what is that? Well, that's the actual ping. So we can stop the ping packet. Because the ping packet can actually be detrimental to your system if it's one that keeps on repeating itself. And that's what's known as the dreaded ping of death. What it is all it is a regular ping packet. Somebody had a lot of time and decided to modify it. And you also have the output filters. You can do the same thing. And then what we can do is we can add in an address pool if we want to do it statically, manually, or we can just let DHCP give the IP addresses out when the actual clients connect to the NAT. Then we can let the different services through, such as Internet Mail, which is SNMTP, IMAP 3 and 4, Post Office Protocol version 3.0 or 3, which is POP 3, Remote Desktop. And it's based on the different ports that you're going to have open. Then you can go into the actual service and you can select what is going to be the service that you want, such as an FTP on this interface. And then what is the private IP address? Because what it does is when the client comes into NAT, it's going to be redirected to a different service depending on what it's asking for. So if it's doing HTTP, it's going to look for port 80. So the private IP address is going to be the actual server that we want to redirect the information to. So when a client goes and connects HTTP, it's going to redirect it to the server that we decide for NAT. Now, when you're working with NAT, we can troubleshoot it. And what we have the ability of doing is sending the information into the system log. Which is, so you have the ability of saying, okay, I want error logs only, or errors and warnings, and log the maximum amount of information. And so, in closing, the differences between NAT and ICS are big, because ICS is just for your small office. Remember, it uses 192.168.0.0/24 for the IP addresses it's going to give out. Where NAT actually uses DHCP, allows us to be able to connect hundreds of users to the internet using the one public connection. So thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the Google box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts. Just search for the Google website. If you have any idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the Google box. It has been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me into your world. Have a great day and bye-bye for now.